Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. The team over at touringplans.com has one major goal, and that's to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Studios vacation. They have folks in the parks each day gathering information to refine their models so that you don't wait longer than you need to for any attraction. Also, you have great technology there at your disposal. You can use apps like Lines, which gives you up-to-the-minute wait times, but also gives you much, much more information like menus from all over the parks. You can search by food item to see where you can find that particular item. And of course, it has the optimizer where you enter the attractions you are most interested in, and it will come back using information right now to tell you the best way to see those attractions with the minimum wait. So check it out today. It's the best money you can spend on your next Disney or Universal vacation. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 910 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. I hope that you're having a great Monday already and that you have an outstanding week. Thanks so much for downloading the show. And, you know, we're going to have some fun Disney talk today. We're going to head out to the Disney Cruise Line and talk about one of the things on my Disney bucket list. And it's actually a biggie, because this is the one thing I have told my wife that when I retire from teaching, this is what I want my retirement gift to be. And I've said this for about the last 5 years, and I'm dead set and serious about this. So we're going to have a treat today. And joining us from all the way up in Canada, in Manitoba, we have Barb. Thanks for joining us today, Barb. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And you go on quite a few Disney adventures. It's a great thing to have. But we were sitting down talking about, before we got recording, you know, it's about a 30-minute show. We said, you've had so many fun experiences. We could talk for about 5 or 6 hours and do probably a week or 2 weeks or a month worth of shows here.
Well, I could always talk about Disney that long.
Yeah, me too. That's why I started a podcast. So I think everybody enjoys that. So today we're going to talk about one of your adventures in particular, because again, it's kind of a self-serving thing. One of the things I really, really want to do someday, and again, I'd love to do this upon retirement from teaching here, maybe in about 10 or 15 years, crossing my fingers if I make it that long, is a Panama Canal cruise with the Disney Cruise Line, which you did, correct?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so tell us about that. Let's get back to the planning and what made you decide to do this and when you went. So, you know, give us the pre-trip stuff for this cruise.
Okay, well, first of all, it's something my dad's always wanted to do. And he turned 80, so my husband and I decided that's what we were going to do. It took my mom and dad. They do two cruises a year. It's just bringing the Wonder over to do the Alaska cruises, basically. So they do one in May, and they bring the ship back again in September.
Okay, so where did you depart from?
Miami.
All right, so you flew from down to Miami, and then where did it, because this is a repositioning cruise, so it ended up in Vancouver?
No, actually we flew into Orlando, of course, because I couldn't go that close and not
smart.
Go to Disney World.
Yes.
But then we rented a vehicle and just drove down to Miami, and then it ended in San Diego.
Nice.
Of course, we rented a vehicle and drove up to Anaheim.
You know, that's kind of the best way to do the coast-to-coast Disney Parks Challenge is take a Disney cruise line ship through the Panama Canal from Walt Disney World to Disneyland. I like that idea.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. I got to say, 4 days in Disney World, 15 days on the ship, and then 2 days at Disneyland, so...
Oh, everybody is yelling at you in their iPods and phones right now saying, no, I want to do that. That's a month of Disney fun almost.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
That is unreal. Okay, so talk to us about planning. So your dad wanted to do this, and I've always heard that, you know, the Panama Canal itself is just an engineering marvel that everybody needs to see in their lifetime, and we'll kind of talk about that when you went through the canal, but the planning, was this a harder cruise to plan for you, a harder trip? I mean, it's a 15-night cruise with the tacking on of Walt Disney World on the front end, Disneyland on the back end. You know, that's a little bit more, you know, you got a lot of time involved, so how was the planning with this?
Yeah, there was in some ways more planning, but because there was only the four of us, usually we travel with quite a group, so this wasn't as bad. My parents obviously are retired, so it was just a matter of us getting time off to be able to go, and then to decide, do we want to do May or September? My dad still kind of farms, so he decided that May would be better because he wouldn't have crops in yet.
Okay.
Instead of September, and it turned out good because they ended up with some really bad storms on the September one, so we lucked out by doing the May.
Nice. Okay, so you go down to Walt Disney World. Well, let's go 2 minutes. What did you do at Walt Disney World before the cruise? Because everybody's going to ask, you know. So let's just get that out of here. So where did you stay, and what, you know, do you have any like real quick story from the Walt Disney World part before you headed to Miami?
I surprised my parents with Savannah View at Animal Kingdom Lodge. That kind of blew their mind. That was the big thing, was just the resort. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorites. We've stayed there actually twice in the last year. And we're not even a deluxe family, but I just can't help it. It's so unreal. I mean, you know, I'll probably never make it to Africa. And it is so just awesome seeing giraffe and zebra and, you know, all kinds of animals right there, seriously, from your Savannah View balcony right there.
Right. Yeah. Usually we're more Pop Century family.
Yep.
So I didn't let on that this was going to be different. So they were very surprised when we pulled up there. So it worked out very nice.
This isn't Pop. What's going on?
Yes.
Here?
Yeah.
Looks a little different. It's a little more subdued on the outside than Pop Century.
Yeah. So they've only been there a couple of times, so they didn't really know the difference driving up. It was just, especially once they got to see the room, then it was just.
Yeah, it's shockingly awesome. I can't. Yeah, everybody's seen the picture. So, okay, so let's get down to. So we're in Miami. I like to sail out of Port Canaveral. I've also sailed out of Miami. It's not quite as Disney down there to get on the ship, but tell us about embarkation. Was it? Now you've done other Disney cruises, correct? This wasn't your first. Okay, so was the embarkation for a cruise this long and a repositioning cruise any different than, say, you know, just a regular old, you know, typical Disney cruise?
I don't know if it was that much different. Very different from going out of Port Canaveral. Like when we did the Alaska cruise last week, going out of Vancouver was again different than Miami. So I didn't really like going out of Miami. I don't know. It just didn't have that Disney feel to it somehow.
No, I feel the exact same way. We took the Wonder out of Miami a couple years ago over spring break just for a Caribbean cruise. And exactly. I mean, it's utilitarian. It gets the job done. And there's a lot of other ships around. And it's a busy place. But it doesn't. It feels more, you know, again, this is, you know, we're a Disney podcast, everybody gets it, but it is more magical and more clean, and just, you can tell Disney controls the story at Port Canaveral, and Miami, they're just basically renting a space and have hung up some banners and stuff.
Yes, and I found it was very slow. Like, you know, you have your time where you're supposed to go, and yet we were waiting for well over an hour before we could board the ship.
Yeah, same for us. We waited longer for in Miami to get on the ship than we did ever at Port Canaveral, and we've done quite a few out of Canaveral. So let's talk about once you got on the ship and you get the muster drill out of the way and it's time for sail away. On a cruise like this, I mean, do you guys head directly, you know, is it all sea days or do you make any stops along the way? What was your itinerary?
I don't have it in front of me right now.
Did you stop? But, I mean, you stopped a couple times, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah. My favorite stop actually was in Cartagena, Colombia. I didn't, maybe because I wasn't expecting much, but it's a beautiful walled city. Like it was amazing. It really was.
That's an interesting port because that's one you'd never see otherwise on the Disney Cruise Line itineraries. But really, you know, most ships that sail out of, you know, the United States, you don't see that one often.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we start, I'm trying to remember now, we did Cozumel and, you know, the mostly the Mexican ports. But for us, the highlight was the, my husband's saying the Florida Keys, he did like to. But they had a speaker on board, and every day they would talk about something about the Panama Canal.
Nice.
So by the time you got to the day that you go through the canal, You knew what you were looking for, what you were looking at. You knew history behind it, the politics behind it, the engineering behind it. It was very interesting. And even looking forward, because in some parts you can see the new canal. And so you knew what you were looking at and why it looked the way it did.
Interesting. Now, where did that those discussions take place? Was it in like the Walt Disney Theater, or where did he do that?
Yeah, it was. excuse me, sorry. It was. Every morning, Captain Puckett was the speaker, and he's really funny. Really, really funny.
that's
so it made it very interesting that way, too. It wasn't just a dry speaker.
Now, how well attended was something like that? Because, again, that's right up my alley. I'd have been there, like, you know, hanging on every word because I'm all about engineering and seeing, you know, just wonders of the world. I mean, was this something that... it was just like, you know, a geeky crowd, or was it like most of the ship was there? How's that work out?
It was fairly full.
Cool.
And they also played it continuously on the TV later on.
Good tip. Good. And that's a great service. I know Disney does that with a lot of their programming because, you know, maybe, you know, I doubt there were many kids on this sailing. I mean, I'm sure there were a few, but, you know, sometimes they keep you from doing things like this.
Yeah, there was actually more kids than I expected.
Really? I would think there would be no
kids. Yeah, that it was a two-week cruise. I was surprised. When we first checked in Miami, there was a young family just sitting right beside us. They had three little girls, and they said it was their first cruise. And I was surprised, actually, that they would do a two-week cruise for their first one. And as we were getting off the ship, they happened to be in line in front of us again. And I said, "So how did it go? What did you think?" And she goes, "It's not our last cruise, definitely." She said they loved it.
But can you imagine, though, if that was your first cruise, you're going to go on a 7-nighter, which, you know, is a long cruise to me, and be like, "Man, that thing was over in a blink. I just got on the ship." You know, like your whole perspective on things would be backwards, I would think.
Yeah. So now it's, because after 15 nights, you think, you know, but it sounds like a really long time, but it wasn't. You still didn't want to get off the ship, except for that. I found you got to know a lot of the crew, even the captain. You got to know him by name, and you met him in the hallways all the time. And he played hide and go seek. He actually dressed up as a cleaner and actually hid on the ship.
Wait, like the captain did? Are you serious? You really did that?
Yes. Yes. The captain and the was it the top four crew? they played hide and go seek one day, and they didn't tell anybody, but they went and changed their uniforms. And later on, the captain said he knew his uniform must have been, or his costume must have been good, because he normally gets a salute. And some guy walked past him and kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, "Huh," to him.
Yeah, see, I'd be worried the captain was losing his marbles when that stuff starts happening. Like, he's been on the ship one too long. We need to get him back to land here, stat. You know, he's driving this big old Disney Wonder. Let's get him some help. That's I love that, though. It shows he has personality. And I will say, I did go to a talk with the same captain of the Wonder when we were on our cruise, and he's very proud of that ship because I believe he has sailed that ship since day one.
Yes, and he was part of the design crew for the Dream and the Fantasy, because he did a talk on that as well.
Cool.
So he was instrumental in a lot of the things that they designed into the new ships, but he said he still preferred his.
Yeah, that's what I got too. He's really proud of the Wonder. He loves the big ships, you know, the Dream and the Fantasy, but he wants his, you know, the Wonder's his baby. And I like to have somebody like that, because you could totally tell he was invested in wanting to make the experience the best possible experience for the guests. I mean, the stuff that he told us about in this, and again, he had a captain's talk in one of the bars, you know, early one morning on our cruise, but you know, you can just tell when somebody's passionate about it. You know, he was answering questions and he loved that ship, and it, you know, that makes me happy.
Yeah, in the Buena Vista Theater, he did a talk with explaining all about the Dream and the Fantasy and the parts that he helped design. And so he had all the, because most of the stuff I wouldn't have understood without the pictures. So that was really interesting.
So let's talk here a little bit about the programming, because we know that, you know, Disney Cruise Line does a great job of keeping you busy, keeping you active, you know, stuff for every age, kids, you know, teens, you know, young adults, folks, you know, that want to get out there, the older adults. You know, it's a challenge probably for a 7-night cruise. You know, you want to make sure that you have enough going on. But for a 15-night cruise, I'm sure they had to add a lot of stuff. Like you mentioned, the gentleman that, that gave the talk about the Panama Canal, that's special. But was there anything that you really, you know, can still think back on and say, man, that was unique. I'm glad they added that, because we had, I'm sure you had to have a lot of things to keep you busy, especially on all those sea days.
Yeah, they had talks with Imagineers. And I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but we would talk to him in the hallways and stuff quite a bit. Very friendly guy. He was the head Imagineer on the Little Mermaid ride. And he was on, he was an animator for Oliver and Company. So he kind of, he talked about the movie making part of it, but also the Imagineering in the theme parks part of it. And it was, he was really interesting.
That's awesome, man. Because I think, you know, you really have to want to do a cruise like this, you know, to be on it 15 nights, to be, especially a repositioning cruise, because you're not ending up where you started. So that's something to think about as well. And I think that, you know, Disney needs to make sure that they do stuff for the Disney fan, because there's a reason you sailed Disney Cruise Line on such a long, you know, because you're investing a lot of time, over 2 weeks on that ship. So I'm glad to see that they have stuff that's specifically tied into Disney and the passionate Disney fans. So that's a really cool thing to get, you know, like an Imagineer on the cruise. That'd be something I'd love to see.
Yeah, and because you're on there so long, you get to recognize faces, right? So you can talk to them in the hallways when you pass them and things like that. And the cruise director, it was a different captain and cruise director last week when we were up in Alaska, but the people we had through the Panama Canal, they had a really good rapport. And well, the captain fired the cruise director once or twice a day. It was just this thing constantly. The cruise director kept trying to drive the ship, and he was always betting for something so he could drive the ship. And so it was a really good rapport between the two of them constantly. Well, and that was a lot of fun.
Well, the captain was playing hide and seek, so somebody had to drive the ship.
That's right.
You know, what are you going to do? He was just trying to step in there, make sure you guys, you know, kept heading west. It had to, you know, you had to get there. It was due in San Diego on a certain date.
Well, and going through the canal, they have to, the captain said they have to give the ship over. And it's the only time Disney will let someone else have complete control of one of their ships. And at one point, they did bang on the side because there's only 18 inches clearance on either side of the ship. And so when you hit the cement, and we could see there was some paint scratched and stuff later, but the captain said later on that day, he goes, and remember, I wasn't in charge of my ship.
I can do that. You know, they just didn't let me, you know, it's like a 16-year-old driver or something, but so let's get into that. So actually going through the canal, tell us, I mean, how long does it take? And it's a system of like locks, right? Where it raises the ship up or drops the ship to match the, I'm not exactly sure how that works, but you're trying to match, I believe, the height of the sea on the other side. Is that how, what you're doing, basically?
Yeah, you go through a series of locks, and then you go through it's a man-made lake. They flooded this lake, and then you go through another set of locks at the other end. It takes pretty much the entire day to do the whole process.
So what did you do that day? I mean, I'm sure that's the highlight for everybody of this cruise, that you get to go through there. So what do you see, and what does Disney do to kind of make the experience even better?
Well, you can sign up, and if you go swimming in the pool that day, you get a certificate that says you've swam the Panama Canal.
That's awesome.
So that's a certificate you're not going to get anywhere else. They had a guest speaker that was on for the entire day. And would give you a, you know, play-by-play of exactly what's going on, what you're looking at, why things are happening the way they are. That was one thing that I didn't think ahead would be there, and I wish I would have brought something that I could have recorded that.
Good idea.
Because they had the camera at the front of the ship, and then her voice. So she was explaining exactly what you were seeing.
That's a great idea, though.
That would have been really nice to have.
It gives everybody basically like a personal guide to, you know, the Panama Canal right there. And you can, you know, see it around the ship. I love that idea that they have the camera and then she's narrating the action. That's cool.
Yeah. And I asked, like, is there somewhere we could buy this even? And they said no, that they couldn't. And I kind of thought that was, they were missing the, missing the boat on that one.
They don't do that often, Disney. You know, they might have it next year because of this. So now when you're going through the canal, Do you see, like, are there people out that want to see the ships go through, like locals, or are there people working in the canal? I mean, because you said there's 18 inches of clearance, so you got to be very, very close to the land, it points there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And especially right at the locks at Panama City, there was, and I can't remember now, she estimated how many people were in the observation towers. Like, there was various different levels. But it was packed tight with people who just wanted to see the Disney ship. And so Disney put Mickey and Minnie out on the very front on the bow so that everybody could see Mickey and Minnie, because that's what they came to see.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome to think about that, though. Because, I mean, it's marketing on Disney's point. But I mean, but it's also just kind of a goodwill gesture. You know, everybody wants to see Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah.
That's cool. So now tell us about, so you clear the canal, probably take, like you said, it takes you most of a day there. And then you're, trudging on there towards on the west side of Mexico, heading towards San Diego. So what was that like? I mean, did anything change going from, the Caribbean there over to the Pacific Ocean? Was there any marked difference?
You could see in the water where the cool water was hitting the warmer water. There was a difference in color. And that was kind of cool. And when I booked our cabins, I specifically got veranda cabins on either side of the ship, but right at the stairs. So it was only like a couple of steps, basically, to go from our cabin to my parents. So you could look out either balcony whenever you wanted to see something.
That's a great idea to have both sides covered. I never thought about that. I'd always want them side by side, but that's a great move.
Yeah, and to do it right at the stairs like that, then you don't have to walk around to get to the other cabin. You just walk straight across.
Ooh, good tips.
So, we could open up our doors and see each other, even though we're on opposite sides of the ship.
That's a great tip.
So it made it really nice. And when you're with older people like that, to be towards the back of the ship is really nice because it's easy to go up for the restaurants and for... to go up on deck for, to get drinks. My dad really liked the self-serve soft ice cream.
I can imagine. Oh, I'd be dead in 15 days with that. I wouldn't make it. So let's talk about, you kind of mentioned dining. So let's get into that. 15 nights on a cruise ship, I would gain 40 pounds. I can just tell you that. But Disney has rotational dining, and typically you're on a 3, 4, 5 night cruise. You visit each restaurant once, maybe twice. How does that work on a 15 night cruise?
It's the same thing. It's the same rotation. We did one night one brunch in Palo. Otherwise, we just went. We're not real foodies. We're prairie farmers. So anytime someone's going to cook for me, I'm going to love it. But it was really good. I was impressed with the food. I usually am. You do to the same restaurant maybe 4 or 5 times kind of thing.
Wow. So do they, I mean, say Animator's Palette on the Wonder there. I mean, they probably do that show where they change the vests and so forth just one time, right? They don't do that more than once.
Yeah, and they change out the menus. You never have the same menu twice. They just pop out the page and they put a new page in. Because we did, that was something else we got to do because it was a long cruise. We got to do a really intensive tour of the ship. And so we got to tour the kitchens and things, and that's where we saw all the menus. But we got to go into the Walt Disney Theater, and we got to go into the sound booth and the lighting booth. And then we got to go down onto the stage, and the pyrotechnics guy was showing us how they do their pyrotechnics down there. And then we got to go onto the lift and go down inside the stage on that lift and then be brought back up again. And then we went into costuming and where they keep all the props. And then they took us down this little, really narrow hallway kind of thing. And all of a sudden, we were in the sports bar. And I didn't even know there was a door there.
And that's how we keep the actors happy.
Yeah. So that was really neat. That and the sports bar has a mega Jenga. It's made like with 2x4s. And that's a lot of fun to play, actually.
I guess they keep it in the sports. Maybe it's more fun after a couple of drinks there,
Yeah.
Jenga doesn't work. You got a mega Jenga. That's cool. Now, you're totally selling me on this because I so want to see the Panama Canal. But like you just mentioned, I would love to get behind the scenes. Like you said, see the sound booth, see the stages, see how they put on the magic, you know, because the shows on the ships are incredible. And I'm sure that you got to, I mean, I bet it was just, it was pretty cool, I would imagine, just standing on the stage looking out to the Walt Disney Theater from the perspective of an actor.
Yeah, especially after you've been inside the sound booth at the back, you don't even realize all that is there. So that was really interesting. And they said they only do those on the 2-week cruises. And something else we went to too, which they maybe have on other cruises too, but at night it's called Match Your Mate.
Oh yes, we know that one too well. We had Jay and Melissa met on our first podcast cruise, and they honeymooned on the second cruise, and they were on the stage for that one. So yeah, we know that show very, very well. So how did it go for you guys?
Oh, good. Yeah, because it was 2-week cruise, they did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And something else they had was dance lessons. So for, I think it was 8 days, different afternoons, and they would teach dancing, like the foxtrot or the jive, or, you know, all different kinds of dances. That was a lot of fun. And again, they said it's not something they would normally do, but it's something they do on the long cruises.
You know what? It's something they should do. I've seen some other guests dance in the clubs. They need to teach how to do the sprinkler and, you know, the shopping cart and all that good stuff. So this sounds so much fun. So let me ask you this, and I know the listeners are going to kind of cringe at this. Maybe you get it and maybe you don't if you've sailed on a cruise, but eventually, kind of getting back to the food and wrapping that part up, you almost get like fooded out, you know, like after a 7-night cruise when we were on our honeymoon, like the last night we're just like, whew, I've eaten, because we don't eat like that at home. So did you ever get to the point on the cruise where like, I am just, you know, I would love to just have like a taco, or I just love to have like a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, did that happen to you guys?
Yeah, we got where you're very careful. Like, you know, the first time you're ordering an appetizer and a soup and an entree and a dessert. And then it gets where you're just ordering the entree. And then a couple of nights we just didn't go down to eat. We just grabbed something up by the pool, or we would have room service, and the four of us would just sit on the deck and just eat in our rooms sometimes. Because sometimes it's just so beautiful. You're going along and all of a sudden there was a whale just following right beside the ship. So it's hard to leave that to go and eat.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for, even on like the Caribbean cruises and the Bahamian cruises, that, you know, I know Disney programs it so that the evenings go, you know, dinner and then a show and then some kind of after show entertainment, or, you know, flip your dinner and your show depending on what dining rotation you're on. But I think, you know, you mentioned just grabbing, a burger up top and sitting on the top deck. And, you know, really, I've done that a couple times. And even though we missed the show, but I've been lucky to see most of the shows. But, you know, watching the sunset at sea for somebody like me and like you, you know, we're like landlocked, you know, we're nowhere near the ocean. I think that there's something almost good for the soul to sit up there and watch the sun go down over the ocean. It's a magnificent sight.
Oh yeah. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it is. So let's kind of wrap this up with, what did your dad think? 'Cause this was all for him, and this was kind of the goal, was to give him this experience. So was it everything he dreamed of?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, he really, really enjoyed it. My mom loves it too. But she would love to cruise no matter where it went. She says as long as it's on a Disney ship.
I'm with your mom. I'm with your whole family. Next time you guys go, man, you got to give me a holler. I'll meet you. You know, you can. I'll meet you down in Miami or Port Canaveral, wherever we're going. We'd have a good time together.
Well, I did put deposit down last week for the a Europe cruise, so we'll see if that. My grandparents, one side comes from Dover and the other side comes from Reykjavik, Iceland, and this cruise actually goes to Dover and spends 2 days in Reykjavik. So it seemed like it should happen, but whether it can or not, we'll see.
It's a destiny, Barb. You have to do it. I mean, it's like they made this cruise for you. You know, it's like you know, we all have our Disney justifications. I mean, you don't need anything else. That's what it is for you on this one. So real quick, who would you recommend this cruise for as we get out of here and let everybody get on their week? But, you know, you guys did it. You know, if somebody's considering this, like I said, I think it would be a great retirement thing. You know, the kids out of the house and, you know, it's just my wife and I think it'd be a cool thing to do. But, you know, is this something you would recommend even for families, or is it more just like a couples, retired folks kind of thing? Or what do you think?
Oh, no, I would say any age. The biggest thing is, though, you got to take 2 weeks off school.
Yeah.
But if you can get past that, the only thing I would consider if you are going to do it, think of where your time zones are right now. For us, because we're right in the very center, we went to Florida, and then plus there's another time zone past that before you actually start going through the Panama Canal. So we went three time zones to the east, and then came back to the center, and then went, it was three or four time zones to the west. So you go through a lot of time zones, but if you can go, how do I say it? So that you're closest to what your time zone is. Because I found even last week, because Alaska is three time zones different than us, I never changed time zones. So I was getting up at 3 a.m. in Alaska because I couldn't sleep any later.
Well, you
That's
were the,
not good.
Or you weren't even an early bird. You were like a night owl.
Yeah, that wasn't good. So keep that in mind. Do you want to start your trip at an earlier time zone than what you're in? Or do you want to start it at a later time zone than what you're in?
Good.
Because that can really affect it.
Well, this has been a great show because, again, like I said, just personally, I really want to do this once in my life. I got to see the Panama Canal. Nothing better than doing it with Disney Cruise Line. And I love your perspective on things. You're a huge Disney fan. I love talking to you. And we'll have to do this again because I know you take lots of Disney trips. So I'm sure we'll be back here on a Monday talking more Disney. So, Barb, thanks so much. And have fun up in Canada. I'm going to be up there for a pickup hockey game. We talked about that before the show. So
Give me a call. We got a spare room.
That's it. I've already had my teeth knocked out once playing hockey, and I'm paying, you know, a bajillion dollars to put them back in. But it'll probably happen again. But, hey, if it's up in Canada, it's all good. Just give me a – I don't even drink beer, but I'd have to have a Molson, I think, you know, just to get in the spirit.
Ooh, no. Don't
oh,
do that.
Come on. They sponsor Hockey Night in Canada. You know, that's what we think everybody drinks.
No, all right. No, some people do, I guess.
All right. Well, Barb, thanks so much. Tell your husband we said hello, and I appreciate you coming on the show. You have a good week.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and see the most amount of attractions on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. Be the hero of your family. Steer clear of the crowds by using touringplans.com. Check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're there when you're missing Walt Disney World. Check it out right now, MagicalMouseRadio.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show is going to come your way on Sunday night, October 18th. That's October 18th, Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Plenty of time to put it on the calendar over a month away. Right there, we want to see you. October 18th, MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you, as always, for dropping in and downloading the show. We hope you enjoyed this little trip through the Panama Canal today on the Disney Wonder. And we hope you'll be back again on Wednesday as we answer your listener questions. So for Barb, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Get out there and work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.